It's time to get your goalkeeping groove on with the ultimate at-home goalkeeping workout. Want to top up on your training? Join ex-Premier League stopper Richard Lee from the comfort of your own home. For 30 minutes, three times per week, Rich will take to Instagram Live and run viewers through an easy-to-follow training routine developed from his years of professional experience working with first-class goalkeepers and goalkeeping coaches. Work on and improve speed, strength, technique, and many other aspects of your game while engaging the core muscle groups and athletic ability required to be a top goalkeeper.
Just there, nice and simple. Just right hand to left hand, get the ball moving, get a little bit higher. Good, right into some straight into some goalkeeping core. So ball out in front, nice squat down and up.
All you need is a few essential household items, a good Wi-Fi connection, and a small space at home. With a weekly mindset session and goalkeeper quiz to boot, consider this your one-stop shop for goalkeeping growth. Join the Joe Wicks of goalkeeping today on a free one-week trial with no obligation to continue. Visit goalkeepersunion.net/workout for more details.
You've been brilliant. You always are. Well done. Great attitude. I'll see you shortly. Take care.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the educational voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Educational today, Matthew.
You are, aren't you, mister? The teacher that is Richard Lee, taking Zoom goalkeeper classrooms throughout the country, mate. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, indeed. The online programme that we've got, we've touched on it a few times, but a lot of young goalkeepers joining in on the online classroom that we do every week. Some great questions coming in and yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It has, hasn't it? A lot of learning during this period of lockdown. It's going to start coming to an end, of course, everybody returning to some semblance of normality. But with the IG Lives and the Zooms and everything else you've got going on, it's been a relatively productive time. Is it okay to say that?
Yeah, like you say, it's been a very strange time. I think what we've been able to do, thankfully, is move a lot of stuff online. And for me personally, it's actually quite nice to have that balance. Obviously, like you guys know, that I do a lot of work with the professional lads, which is very rewarding. But again, a lot of the stuff we do with the younger goalkeepers we've got at the various academies, bringing a lot of them online, doing the online workouts, doing a lot of the online classrooms, of course, the psychology talks we do as well. It's been good fun. And to kind of get into the mind of a 12-year-old again and remembering what I went through when I was a young goalkeeper coming through and trying to impart some knowledge, it's been good fun.
Good stuff. Okay, we're going to make this relatively quick because you're a busy man. You are up and out shortly, so we're going to try and aim for a quick 15 to 20 minutes. And you mentioned a pro there. I'm going to touch on Nick Pope. 14 clean sheets now. The number one goalkeeper for clean sheets in the Premier League. He bagged another one the other day. There are calls that he should be England's number one. Before we get onto that, just give me your take on Nick Pope and his recent performances, because he's been very, very impressive.
No, he really has. I think with Nick Pope, where I give him huge credit is he had his breakthrough season that we all know about his history, dropped into non-league, had to fight his way back in the way that he did, and now doing it at the level he is. So first and foremost, just an incredible story. Even more so given the injury he had, to have a year out with an injury, especially when it's a shoulder injury and something I know quite a bit of, they're really difficult to come back from. But not only has he come back, he has come back so much stronger than when he did get injured. And this season in particular, I think he's been fantastic. Something I want to touch on with Nick Pope, and this is taking nothing away from him, the discussion I wanted to have with you and interested to hear everyone's thoughts on this. Being a goalkeeper for Burnley, as opposed to being a goalkeeper for another team. Now, something that I think that Nick Pope needs to do is at some point he needs to leave Burnley, go to a team that he has to play out a little bit more. Now, the reason I say that is I think when we're going to be talking England recognition, I think if you need to play or you want to play in Gareth Southgate's team, the way that Jordan Pickford, and the reason that Jordan Pickford has the nod at the moment, is the fact that he plays a certain style of football that I think Gareth Southgate appreciates. Now, it's not Nick Pope's problem or fault that he's not necessarily playing that style of football. Burnley have a very set style. So I think at some point, he does need to move on in order to play a slightly different style of football. The question I have, I suppose, to you and everyone listening is, if you're a goalkeeper for Burnley, does that give you a slight advantage? Because you're playing for a Sean Dyche, who is very defensive-minded. Of course, I played in the same team as him at Watford back in the day. And, you know, a real robust defender he was. It was one way. It wasn't necessarily pretty in a lot of what he did, but he was very, very effective, very brave, you know, got stuck into challenges, etc. And his team are like that. Real solid outfit that they've been for quite some time now. So does it give you an advantage being a goalkeeper playing in that style of system? And also the way in which you do play out, because a lot of other teams, we look at the Man City's Edison, we talk about all the time, threading through balls, breaking the lines. You don't do that at Burnley. At Burnley, more often than not, you're hitting a certain area, certainly from goal kicks. Does that make it an easier job?
So when you say an advantage, I'm presuming you mean a strong centre-back pairing. For one, you look at Burnley over the past few years, Michael Keane and Ben Mee. Then James Tarkowski came in, so it was Tarkowski and Ben Mee. Tarky, another good mate of yours. Are you suggesting that because you've got that strong back line in front of you, it makes things easier? Is that what you're saying?
I think if I was a goalkeeper and I got to play in a Sean Dyche team, I think that's a very positive thing, because I think because he is defensive minded, he's going to want to keep clean sheets. He's going to want to build from that, have that solid base. And that's what Burnley have done over the last few years. I think it's fair to say that, you know, Joe Hart, he didn't even have a bad time, but Tom Heaton had a very positive time. Joe Hart, okay, the results didn't necessarily go his way, but I thought he did fine. And I think now Nick Pope has really excelled in that position as well. So I just wonder whether, and again, we'll only know this when Nick Pope does move on. And this is why I want him to move on. Again, no disrespect to Burnley, but I want him to move on to a bigger club. I'd love it if it was a top six club and show that he is as good as we think he is. Because I think at that point, I think Jordan Pickford has a serious problem on his hands, because he'll have shown that he can do it at a top club, establish himself at a top club. And then we'll know whether it is what I'm suggesting, you know, whether just being at Burnley does offer you that little bit of an advantage, or whether Nick Pope really is as good as we think he is.
So here's one then. It was the game against West Ham, wasn't it, a few days ago, where he got the Man of the Match award. He was brilliant, really authoritative performance, really, really good. And Joe Cole, after the game, said, you know what, I think that's potentially my England number one. He could be the England number one at the Euros next summer. Once he gets his footwork sorted out, and by footwork, I mean playing out from the back, once he gets his distribution right, you know, he's going to be a top, top goalkeeper. And I listened to that and thought, he's 28 now, Nick Pope. He's 28 years old. In a year's time, in 2 years' time, he's not going to suddenly learn how to play football, for example. Now, yes, he's okay with his feet, but he's certainly not to the levels of a Jordan Pickford, of an Edison and Alisson, the goalkeepers that we always reference. In terms of English goalkeepers up there at the moment, Dean Henderson, yep, okay with the ball at his feet. But Nick Pope isn't going to suddenly learn that. We saw it with Petr Cech a couple of seasons ago. And it was a bit of a debacle, really, him trying to play out from the back at the age of, what, 36 years old, found it very, very difficult under Unai Emery. So I don't think that's ever going to change for Nick Pope now. And you mentioned the fact that if he goes to a bigger club, we saw it with Brighton a couple of days ago in the game against Liverpool. Matty Ryan tries to play out from the back, not necessarily Matty Ryan's fault, perhaps the players he's got in front of him, but boom. Liverpool score within 6 minutes because you're trying to play out from the back when you haven't got the personnel in order to do that.
I think it's a fair point. But this then goes back. It's a bit of a throwaway comment, that, for me, from Joe Cole. Oh, he sorts his distribution out. I mean, how many goalkeepers listening in now? How many times have you had that referenced about yourself or about people you know? Sometimes top goalkeepers, and it's a very easy thing to say, oh, his distribution is not great. And that might be because he's put one in the stand in a game. The other 29 kicks were brilliant, but he put one in the stand. Oh, he needs to sort his distribution out. So I think it's a bit of a throwaway comment. And to be honest, I don't think we're going to truly know until Nick goes to a different club. And again, that's why, because I think with Burnley, to an extent, it's simplified what you do. And I say this because I had the same thing at Brentford. My best ever season at Brentford, I had my two big, strong centre-backs in front of me, Carly Osborne, Leon Legg, won everything in the air. So I didn't come for that many crosses that season, not as many as I normally would. And really, my game was based around making saves, because goal kicks, I was just hitting an area. I was reasonably intelligent and my communication was quite good. My starting positions were good. So actually, a lot of what I was doing was making saves. I ended up getting player of the season. And a lot of people remember me for that particular season. But I know that was one of my easier seasons because of the setup I had. Roll on two seasons, I had then Uwe Rosler as a manager who wanted me to start playing out from the back, who wanted the fullback to peel off on a goal kick, create an angle, fire it into him, receive it back, touch, clip it out to the left winger. which I couldn't do. So all that ended up happening was we tried to do it and I just punted it long and I got told off by the manager every time. So I wasn't ready personally to do that. Now, that's what we're not going to know until Nick Pope joins a bigger team. I say bigger, a team that plays a different style of football, which, let's be honest, it will be a bigger team. So if that happens and he is successful, because this is a bit, I don't think we can judge him on yet. If he's successful in doing that, I think he is England's number one at that point.
Yeah, let's not forget that Burnley are technically still in within a chance of making the Champions League this season. So your old pal, Sean Dyche, won't be happy with you saying things like that, Richard. Just to finish on Nick Pope and playing out from the back, there was a great moment. I think it was against Watford in a recent game as well that gave us a sign of what Nick Pope is like with the ball at his feet at the moment. And he was in a really advanced position. I think he was about 30 or 40 yards from goal. He'd read the game well. He dispossessed the attacker. I think it was Watford, might have been Danny Welbeck. And then he had the ball at his feet about 50 yards from goal. And he had a few opposition players around him. And rather than try and find a fellow Burnley player, he just went, bosh, into the stands. Rose Ed, have that. John, proper John Smith, Peter Kay stuff.
Yeah, love it. And that, by the way, that's exactly what I would have done. Who's been in that position where suddenly you can see, all you can see is their colour shirts. You can't see any of your own players. And again, this is why I think Nick Pope's intelligent, though. He's playing according to the system. He's playing according to where he is at the moment. And again, I keep repeating myself. I think he will move. I've just got a feeling he will move this summer. He's being linked with a lot of clubs. If that does happen and Burnley do cash in on him, then next season's going to be the real telling season as to whether Nick Pope ends up, I say just being a top Premier League keeper, or whether it ends up being Premier League keeper and potentially a keeper that plays 50 odd games for England.
All right, let's move on to Kepa. The customary case of Kepa. Chelsea beat Palace at Selhurst Park 3-2 the other day. He made a match-winning save towards the end of the game from Scott Dan. Brilliant save from a header that he pushed onto the post. But naturally, everybody is talking about the goal he conceded from Wilf Zaha. Is he at fault here at all? Actually, do you know what? I'm going to read out a tweet that was put out by John Harrison, a guy that does a bit of work for us. He's a bit of a leader, an educator, he calls himself, specialising in statistical analysis. He's put a few tweets out recently. And I'm going to read the one that he put out regarding this goal from Zaha. He said, regarding the Zaha goal, I feel for Kepa. Zuma absolutely kills him by turning his back and letting the shot go through him. However, it's a 63 miles per hour shot, which is only about 1.3 yards from his initial position. This is proper statistical analysis. So you would expect a top goalkeeper to get there. The reason he doesn't get across and up is nothing to do with his hand selection. This is 100% a top hand save. He would not be able to generate enough force to tip it over, even if he got to it with his bottom hand. The actual reason he struggles to react in time is his footwork.
Interesting. I suppose I disagree. I mean, obviously, I say John does some consultancy for us, and he is fantastic. You know, you certainly read a lot of his stuff. I disagree. I do think it's a bottom hand save. I think that, look, for me, I think David De Gea ordinarily, and I know we're not talking about David De Gea, but he ordinarily chooses the right time to do the top-hand save. You know, looping header, and I'm trying to explain this for those who can see me on video, I'll be able to explain that a lot better. Obviously, you guys just listening in, you have to use your imagination. But if the ball's looping over you, then it makes sense to go with the top hand because the ball's dipping under the bar and the top hand is going to be that much easier to get to the ball. This one is a rising shot. It is rising. And you consider, for me, one step to the left, and you go with your left hand, it's a very simple save in some ways. Because one step, left hand, and you're there. He hasn't taken the step. So John is right in terms of not taking the step. Absolutely right. He's then gone with his bottom hand. So he's kind of gone down and then up. But he can't get that hand across anywhere near quickly enough. And the ball goes in. So for me, I just think it's a step to your left. And it's a bottom hand save or a tip over the bar. You know, if you want to look at it like that. I 100% would have gone with my left hand here. And I think the goalkeepers that do go with the left hand, I think they save this. And this is where I think there's a fine line between what is a top hand save and what is a bottom hand save. I think when the ball is within a yard of you, I think more often than not, and if it's a rising shot, more often than not, it's going to be a bottom hand save.
Quick word on the save from Scott Dan, the header.
Fantastic. And look, let's finish on a positive, because by the way, match winning save. Unbelievable save. So as much as I think he could have done better with the first one, I think there's not many goalkeepers that save the one at the end because the reactions, the quick feet getting across. So where we're talking about his footwork, and this is the thing with Kepa, he's got no issue with his footwork. So if I'm going to give him an excuse for the first one, the only excuse I can give him is maybe he didn't see it straight away, didn't read it straight away because his footwork wasn't great. However, his footwork for the match-winning save, phenomenal. Gets himself across, sets agility to get back down on himself, fingertips onto the post. Absolute worldie of a save. So yeah, as much as I think he could have done better with the first, I think he's more than made up for it with a quite incredible save.
Commentary corner. A quick commentary corner. This is kind of commentary in general, really. It was Steve Bauer, the actual commentator. So not a pundit, not a presenter, but the actual commentator on the game. On Match of the Day, I was watching this. It was the game between Everton and Southampton. Corner was swung into the near post. Danny Ings got a glanced header. Then we had the scenario where Jordan Pickford dived up to his near, I'm just using that for reference, his near stanchion of sorts, post and bar, the angle of post and bar. It's hit the bar, it's hit Pickford, it's gone back out. It's not gone in. Steve Bauer, the commentator, said, "I'm not sure Pickford knew much about it." What's your take when a commentator says that? "I'm not sure the goalkeeper knew much about it." I'm pretty sure the goalkeeper knew everything about it, no?
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? I mean, how often do we hear that comment made about a variety of different goalkeeping actions? And for me, doesn't know much about it. Well, of course he does. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know how to explain this. Like, a classic one will be where, you know, you're moving across the goal, someone's coming in to have what is, might look like a simple finish, and you just throw yourself to make the save, and it hits you and goes out. "Oh, I don't think they're keeping you much about it." Well, no, you can't know exactly what the opposition player is going to do, but you certainly know what your actions are. You certainly know that you're trying to give yourself the best percentage chance of making the save. So the chances are, certainly a lot of reaction saves, more often than not, all you're doing is creating a shape to give yourself a chance, or you're putting yourself in a position where you think they might put the ball. So do you know exactly what the other player's doing? No, of course you don't. But do you know exactly what you're doing? Yes, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of making the save. So I don't know, do we add that to the list of near posts, flaps at crosses, good height for a kick? Do we add it to that list?
I reckon it could go in there, kind of the straight at him. It's in that bracket, isn't it?
Straight at him, yeah. I think it's probably the next level down, so it's not as bad as a good height for a keeper. I think that's in the top bracket. I think the next bracket down is he didn't know much about it. I think that can go in the second bracket.
Nice. Okay.
The championship of bad comments.
We should do that. We should create an all four tiers of commentary cliches. Just to finish on Jordan Pickford, by the way, the last six pens that he's faced, four have been either saved or missed.
That's interesting. Yeah, he's the thing is, well, he's built a bit of a reputation as well now, which I think even if you don't necessarily save a penalty, you know, there's arguments to be said that if somebody misses, there's always going to be a bit of an impact as to who the goalkeeper is. And if they've got a bit of a reputation, it can then change the mindset of the taker. So that's something you should be very proud of.
Yeah, David De Gea as well has eclipsed Peter Schmeichel as Manchester United's not all-time goalkeeper record appearance maker. He's on 399, one game away from 400. So he's ahead of Peter Schmeichel. But do you know the goalkeeper who holds the record for record appearances for Manchester United?
Is it Harry Gregg?
It is Alex Stepney.
Alex Stepney, okay.
Sorry. Soon to be on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Cannot wait for that one. That one is coming very soon. Let's move on to the championship as well. I'm going to highlight a few saves before we get on to Ben Hamer. Brilliant save again from Bartosz Białkowski. That was from a Paddy McNair free kick in Millwall's subsequent defeat to Middlesbrough, but a very, very good save. Similar to the one he made in the game against Charlton earlier on in the season. That was a volley, I think, from Macaulay Bon. And a bit similar to the Lucas Fabianski save last season against Watford from Abdoulaye Doucouré. Those saves, by the way, Rich, just to very quickly touch on that, are the ones that I always look at and think that is training, where the ball is fired in at such pace where the likes of me wouldn't even be able to get a dive off. The likes of you would probably struggle too, but the goalkeepers are able to react and tip it over. On this occasion, a Paddy McNair free kick. It was some 20 yards from goal. He has driven it at Białkowski, but he's managed to get his reactions in check and just tip it over the bar. Brilliant save.
Yeah, fantastic. No, instinctive. And like you said, that's all those hours of training. And sometimes you actually don't know. In fact, it's going to then go back on the comment I just said a minute ago. But sometimes it is just a reaction that isn't a conscious reaction. It's just one that hours and hours of training, and you just do it. You don't even think about it. It's just instinctive.
The fourth stage of learning. You don't know, you know. There you go. You can find that in many an audiobook, many a mindset session on Instagram Live. Get yourself over there for some of that gold. Brilliant save in that game as well from Stojanovic, the Middlesbrough goalkeeper, from Matt Smith. Jack Walton with a massive save for Barnsley. That was late on in that relegation clash with Luton. Harry Cornick was clear in the dying moments, and he made a brilliant save on that occasion, Jack Walton. And let's finish on Ben Hamer. Two goals conceded in their defeat to West Brom. You've got a couple of points on this one.
Yeah, generally, I thought he played very well. Interesting, though, the two goals, because he got bits of stick for the second one. And they're both goals that I think a lot of goalkeepers will have conceded. So the first one, where he's effectively reacted as if he thought he was going to pick the ball up. So for those that haven't seen it, ball played through, and he's almost reacted to the initial ball. And the moment the player nips in front and takes it off him, he's already committed himself and he's down on the floor. And it then is a very simple finish. And you look at it again, you kind of think, did he need to go to ground? Because the player was only going to take it one place. And had he have read that, he would have made the save, you would have thought. But in backing him up, I guess the bit that I do know is that you do often react to the initial ball. You don't necessarily know, or you can't see in your peripheral vision exactly who's there. And unfortunately, that cost him on this occasion. And then the second one, it was just the speed at which it nipped off the turf. Great near post header. It's gone into the ground. And it's very hard to read it sometimes when it's zipping up off the ground to know exactly where it's going to bounce. Wasn't quite able to sort his hands out, hit his hands, got in the corner. So it's one of them that I think on another day, he may do better on both. But I can fully understand exactly why both have gone in. I think every goalkeeper watching this, they will also understand why each goal went in.
Is there anything to say on Ben Hamer's mindset at all at the moment? A good mate of yours, of course, you were both at Brentford for a period together. His contract is obviously coming to an end. I don't know the ins and outs of his contract agreement with Derby. He is technically a Huddersfield goalkeeper. There's also been a bit of speculation around Joe Hart going to Derby as well. Would that be playing on his mind?
Not really. I think it's timed quite well for Ben, really, the fact that this is all happening now. He's done as well as he has at Derby, because I think most Derby fans will agree he's been very solid since he's come in. And certainly he got a little bit of stick, I believe, at Huddersfield, and they didn't fully take to him there. And he's been a bit hit and miss, I think. And I think Ben would admit this too. It's kind of, you know, for instance, he went to Bristol City on loan, didn't quite work out for him there. But then he's very well liked at Reading, where obviously he started his career, and Charlton in particular did very, very well. So, no, it's an interesting time for him. But I think he's certainly done well back end of this season for Derby. My guess is he'll have some very interesting options this summer.
Yeah, really good podcast that we did with him. If you've not heard that, get yourself over to iTunes or various other podcast providers to listen to that one. And just to finally finish, Rich, David Raya, since the restart, 5 games, 4 clean sheets in very good form.
Yeah, fantastic goalkeeper. I think Brentford fans massively have taken to him in a big, big way. I just think it's a match made in heaven. The way that David Raya plays, fantastic with his feet. The way that Brentford play, and by the way, Brentford are absolutely flying at the moment. I think it's going to be such an interesting end to the season in the Championship. Leeds and West Brom certainly not giving them much of an opening at the moment. Brentford look fantastic. David Raya, he's grown as the season's gone on, I think it's fair to say. We had a bit of a tough time last season at Blackburn, back end of the season, but I think this season hit the ground running. He's improving with every game.
Richard, thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. We'll see you next time.